tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radio.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 21st of January 2026 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today we have a news story that's quite close to home for me. It actually comes from Wales. And the article we're going to be taking this from is at the Daily Mail and it's entitled Welsh Village Erupts in Fury over plans to house 70 asylum seekers in a former care home as 500 locals queue up to protest. Plans to house 70 asylum seekers next to a medical centre in the heart of a Welsh village have sparked uproar. Police officers kept watch and patrolled Hros Llangrugog near Wrexham today as around 500 locals queued for the packed public meeting. In the end, so many people arrived that the event had to be held outdoors. And that's really good. That shows that there are a lot of people that are concerned about this, and they are concerned about an issue that's very close to the heart of Patriotic Alternative, which really says that Patriotic Alternative's views on migration are held by the majority of the people in this country. Although the Daily Mail, of course, will refer to Patriotic Alternative as neo-Nazis. Are they saying that all these people that turned out here to protest this, are they saying that they were neo-Nazis? Well, they do seem to have eased back a little bit on that, on calling the protesters far-right and neo-Nazis, although they do still do so in some issues. But it's excellent to see that so many people have protested against this. It's only 70 asylum seekers, and yet you've got 500 people that are protesting against it. You would think that if they had just 70 people protesting against it, they would stop doing it, because there are more people that don't want it than people who do want it. But of course, the councils, I think they get paid extra money for having these asylum seekers in their area, so they're quite keen to do so. And of course, remember the other week we talked about how there's this big push to get the asylum seekers out of the hotels. We did a news story just the other week about council houses that are being built for them and the backlash that is against that. And what you have here is they're going to put them all in a former care home, which is probably a mansion. I mean, that's the sort of places that usually get turned into care homes, is these huge old stately homes. So they literally want to put up refugees in a mansion. Instead of keeping them in a hotel, they're going to move them out to a mansion. And then probably from there, they will then move them out to the council houses, which, of course, were intended for the indigenous British people. When the council house system was set up, that's what it was intended for. All of our laws and all of our programs were set up to look after the indigenous British people. They were never intended to look after everybody else in the world. Many say that the former sheltered housing, that's the old care home, should instead be used by the under pressure NHS to relieve bed blocking in hospitals. And of course, that's very sensible, but it means looking after the people that are already here in the country rather than looking after the refugees. And as we've seen in so many of these cases, the government sees the rights of these refugees as being greater than the rights of the British people. In this case, the rights of the British people to actually have a bed in hospital. It's more important that the government provides a bed for these alleged refugees than it is for them to provide a bed for sick and ill Indigenous British people that need to be seen at a hospital. They also fear that if the proposal goes ahead, it could house single men about whose backgrounds they know nothing, leaving them feeling unsafe in their own homes. And of course, that's because about 90% of the people that come over to this country are young men, and it gets remarked upon by everybody at these places that these hotels are just being filled up with young military age men. And the only difference, really, it would seem, between a literal invasion and this that has been called an invasion by politicians is the fact that these people don't actually carry guns and weapons, but they're still here. They're still men of military age that are having the red carpet rolled out for them by the government, putting them up in hotels. Now they want to put them up in this mansion. And I think the people that live in this village are quite right to be concerned about the fact that it could just be filled with single men. I mean, if it's villagers, there probably aren't that many people in the village. I mean, we've heard of some cases where putting these refugees in these areas has literally doubled the number of people in that area. The plan is part of efforts to disperse asylum seekers from hotels and private landlords to new or refurbished properties amidst fury over the multi-billion pound accommodation bill. How much do you think it's going to cost to give them all new council houses? I guess the way they look at that is, well, the money that's paid out in the housing benefit actually goes to the council. So it comes back to the government rather than going out to private landlords. But I don't think the general population of Britain, I don't think they want them being housed by private landlords or housed by the council. If they're being housed by the council, it means that there are less council places for the indigenous British people. This isn't about race. It's not about hating the colour of people's skin. It's about the literal resources and not having enough resources to go around. I mean, we haven't even got enough water resources to go around now. Last week, a couple of weeks back, I think it was in Kent, there was a whole village there that had no water for a week or 2 weeks. Now we've got somewhere else in the south of England, had no water for a week. We've got sewage, because there's too much sewage for our pipes to contain now. We've got sewage that's been emptied into rivers and emptied into the sea, and it is polluting the sea and polluting the rivers. We've got not enough room in the schools. The class sizes are continually expanding. We've got huge waiting lists at the hospitals. I mean, I could go on and on and on about all the stretched resources that are being stretched way past their limit just by the number of people that we have in Britain. So they are quite right to be concerned about this, about the lack of resources. Earlier this month, 1,000 residents took to the streets to protest against plans to house hundreds of migrants in a Sussex town's former army barracks. So there are other protests that are going on. If we've got time, we'll have a look at that article as well as this one. And I spoke to someone the other day about this, actually, and I said, look, they're planning on putting all of these refugees. They're not sending them back, but they're planning on taking them out of the hotels and putting them in council houses, which is actually going to be far worse than putting them in hotels. And they said, well, hopefully the people will protest against that and they will stop that from being done. And it does look like people are keen to protest against this. You've had 500 people at this Welsh village, 1,000 residents outside this Sussex town's former army barracks, and it doesn't show any signs of letting up. Incidentally, there is a Patriotic Alternative protest against immigration on the 7th of February, and that will be in Warwick. And it's a national demonstration. There will be Laura Towler speaking there, Mark Collette speaking there, Joe Marsh speaking there. So if you want to go and lend your support to Patriotic Alternative, get yourself to Warwick on Saturday the 7th of February. And I will also put an advert for that on the RadioAlbion.com site. Following an outcry in the former colliery village known by locals as Hross, a handmade banner draped on a fence reads, "Keep our kids safe." And that is the main concern here, is all of these rapes and sexual assaults that occur that are linked to these refugees when they're staying at these hotels. I've lost count of the number of rapes and sexual assaults that have taken place. It's pretty much every day that you read in a news article somewhere, usually a local news article, of a sexual assault taking place near these hotels where they're putting these refugees. And if they're going to start importing them into these small communities like villages, you're going to hear about these things happening in these villages as well. And that is the main concern of people, is to keep the children safe. And most people wonder why the government doesn't understand this, why the government continues to do this. Well, you know, you have to look at it and you have to say, well, it seems that the government are prioritizing these refugees above our own children. And that really should wake people up to why this is all going on. It wasn't going on before the Second World War, was it? Our government actually put the interests of the British people first before the Second World War. But since the Second World War and the post-World War II world that we live in, it's the refugees and these other people from these other countries that are being put first, not our interests. One worried local, Eric Evans, 85, said, "I'm glad so many people turned up. It is completely out of order and should never have been suggested." And of course, the people that actually fought in World War II, the ones that are left still alive, most of them appear to be absolutely horrified by what's happened to the country. And they say that we never would have given our lives up if we had known that this is what the country was going to turn out to be. In fact, I do have a book, actually, that Joe Marsh gave to me with elderly people that fought in the war and what their thoughts are on the way that Britain is today. But I seem to have misplaced it. I was looking for it the other day. If I can find it, I'll do an episode of the Daily Nationalist looking at these quotes, because most of them are absolutely horrified at what's going on in the country. And most of the reasons why they're horrified is the mass immigration that's taken place since the end of the Second World War. This 85-year-old continued, "It's the wrong place. The building should be used for something else. Help the hospital. Ease bed blocking. It is a safety fear, mainly." And of course, our opponents will say, no, it's not. It's racism. You just hate the colour of the skin. No, it's not. It's pattern recognition. It's recognition of the fact that these sexual assaults occur that are linked to these refugees, and we don't want that happening to our children. That's the main concern. Second concern is the numbers. Third concern is probably the fact that people are starting to realise that what's actually happening is that we are being replaced by these people from another group. This idea that the Great Replacement is a conspiracy theory is ridiculous. People can see it happening before their very eyes. It's clearly not a theory. If you want to refer to the word itself, there was a UN paper, a document, a United Nations document referring to replacement migration. And in this document, it says that Europeans are not producing enough to replace themselves. Therefore, what we need to do is import people from these other countries that do have far more people than is necessary, and we'll import them into our countries to replace the non-existent white people. I'm summarising there. It probably doesn't actually say white, but that's what they're doing. They're quite open about it, that bringing in these people from abroad is to replace the people that aren't being born in Europe. So quite clearly, it's not a theory. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's fact. And people are realising this. People are realising that what's actually going on is that the whole population is being replaced, and it's kicked into a really fast speed as well over the last 10 years. And these concerns about illegal migration is really a proxy for concerns about legal migration. It's all of the migration that it doesn't matter if they're legal or illegal, they're still replacing the people that are already here, or the people that aren't actually being born. Mother of one, Kate Hughes, 31, who is expecting her second child, said, "I am not happy about it. Unfortunately, we live directly opposite. We would be overlooking the facility. I would not feel safe in my own home." Now, a government that really cared about its people would say, well, that's it. We're not having them here. And that's the way that Hungary looks at this. Hungary says the Hungarian people are supreme. And if they don't want to be living next door to refugees and migrants, we're not going to force them to live next door to refugees and migrants. And if we're not producing enough children, we're certainly not going to import the children from another group to make up for it. We're going to encourage the Hungarians to breed more, which is what Viktor Orban has done. They have lots of programs and encouragements for the Hungarians to have more children, to get married and have more children, rather than importing people from outside the country, from foreign groups, to make up for it, which on the face of it is an absolutely insane idea, that you would just start replacing the children of your own group with the children of another group. But that's effectively what is going on. Kate Hughes continued, "Our people are struggling. The NHS is in crisis, and a facility like that would be amazing to have as a rehabilitation unit. I am absolutely opposed." So it seems as if this has been talked about for some years now, that it should be used as a rehabilitation unit to ease the pressure on the NHS. It's like in Llantwit Major, where they did a similar thing, and the area that they wanted to put the migrants into had already been earmarked for a health centre for the people that lived there, and they wanted a health centre to be put there. But instead, the government put this these temporary housing to put refugees in, and the people there were told that it would be refugees like Ukrainian refugees. But of course, it wasn't Ukrainian refugees; it was people from all over the place that were put there. I don't think there are any Ukrainian refugees there, from what I hear. So they didn't exactly lie to the people about who was going to be there, but they misled them by saying it would be like Ukrainian refugees, when what they're saying there is it could be any type of refugee. Mandy Gascoigne, 54, said, "We don't know anything about these people. There are no checks on them. We are only a small village. This is the wrong place." And everywhere is going to say this. This is the argument of the left. They say, well, everywhere is going to say this. They're all going to be NIMBYs. They're all going to say, not in my backyard. But they have to go somewhere. And of course, our answer to that is yes, they have to go back. And that's where they have to go to. They've literally broken into the country, and we're rolling out the red carpet for them. We're putting them in hotels. Now we're saying we're going to put them up in this mansion. Then after that, we're going to give them the council houses that should be there for our own people. It's incredible what's going on. She said, "We would be worrying about the children's safety." And she's quite right to worry about the children's safety, as I've mentioned so many times on here, as we have documented so many times on here. Today's packed meeting was scheduled for Havod Colliery Club in the former colliery village, which has a population of about 10,000. Wrexham councillor Paul Pemberton said, "They have to go somewhere, but this is the wrong place. The public response has been 99% opposed to it. People are more than deeply worried." And I think that's just general for everywhere. It's about 99% opposed to this, and yet the government still do it. Nobody knows who would come. The Plassenroos complex is a former local authority sheltered housing facility which closed in 2016. So it would be quite easy to turn that into an NHS facility to put people in there that needed care, that didn't need immediate treatment but needed care while they're recuperating from treatment, that are currently still in these hospitals because we don't have enough of these places for them to go to. Wrexham Council said the Home Office proposals are for 35 units for families of up to two people per unit. Well, two people isn't a family, is it? What they would end up doing, I'm sure, is just putting one individual in each of those units rather than making them share, because there just aren't any families that come over, are there? It's about 90% young males. And what they do is they come over here, once they get their citizenship, then they can bring their family over. That's if they have a family. A lot of the people that come over here are on the run from their own countries, and that's what claiming asylum is. They say, well, we're being threatened by our government in our own country. That's why we've had to flee to your country. So in actual fact, what they're actually saying is our own country doesn't want us. We're the sort of people that our country doesn't actually want. And you really shouldn't want us either, but apparently you do. So now we're here, and now you're rolling out the red carpet for us. Thank you very much. Wrexham Council said the Home Office proposals are for 35 units for families of up to two people per unit. We are planning to submit a response objecting to the proposal. The council has been consulted by the Home Office in relation to the property on two previous occasions, and both times has strongly opposed the proposed use. Of course, the Home Office is just going to ignore the Wrexham Council. They'll just force it through. Wrexham's Labour MP Andrew Ranger said the proposal was being led by private asylum accommodation provider Clear Springs Ready Homes. So they literally have an asylum accommodation provider which is being set up to provide accommodation for these people. What about providing some accommodation for all the white people that are on the council list that are waiting 10 years to be given a council property? What about giving them somewhere first, eh? Get the council list down to zero and then start thinking about whether we can help the rest of the world. While Plasen Verose is located just outside my Wrexham constituency, I recognise that its potential impact, particularly on our local GP surgeries, schools and infrastructure, will be felt deeply by my constituents, he said. Any change of use for the building will require formal scrutiny, and this remains the proper channel for local concerns regarding the suitability of the site and the pressure on public services to be addressed. Clear Springs Ready Homes was approached for comment. Clearly, they didn't respond. And sometimes people look at these things and they say, well, that's a bit ridiculous, isn't it? They're saying that they're concerned that there isn't enough resources for the refugees, there isn't enough resources for the migrants, not enough buses for them, when we just don't want these people here because they're a danger to the community. Well, you can't really get them out by saying they're a danger to the community. The government just ignores that. But you can prevent them from coming into your community if there aren't enough resources for them, which is why people tend to make these points. It's not that they're more concerned for the refugees than they are for their own people. It's just that that's the only way that you can get these facilities closed down. Official figures show there are 36,000 asylum seekers in hotels and around 71,000 in, quote, dispersal accommodation in the private rented sector. So that means 2/3 of the asylum seekers are already in private accommodation being paid for by the government. That's private accommodation that our own homeless people could be living in, and they're not. Our government has chosen to put these quote-unquote refugees first. The cost of the contracts awarded to Serco, Clear Springs and Mears has tripled from £4.5 billion to £15.3 billion, according to figures from the National Audit Office. So, I mean, it's an absolute fortune that is being spent on this. A Home Office spokesperson said, "We are furious at the level of illegal migrants in asylum hotels. The government will close every asylum hotel." Why don't they tell the truth there? The government is going to spend even more money now by giving all these people private homes rather than putting them in hotels. They continue, "Work is well underway to move asylum seekers into more suitable accommodation, such as military bases, to ease pressure on communities across the country." And of course, that's that same weasel wording, isn't it? They're not saying they're exclusively going to put them on military bases. They're saying such as military bases, but it could also be private accommodation. It could also be a mansion like this, anywhere, as long as it's not a hotel, because they think the problem is that people don't want to see them going in hotels, but people don't want to see them in the country at all. "We are working closely with local authorities, property partners, and across the government so that we can accelerate delivery," the spokesperson said. Well, let's have a look at some of these other articles here which are related to this. Another Daily Mail one. "New council houses to be built for asylum seekers in push to end use of hotels with intense public backlash expected." And this is the article that I covered the other week. "Asylum seekers will be housed in newly built council houses as part of a push to end the use of asylum hotels and private landlords. Around 200 local authorities have indicated an interest in the government pilot scheme that would fund the building of new properties or the refurbishment of derelict housing to make room for asylum seekers." What that means is that the government are willing to pay for new houses to be built if asylum seekers are going to go in there, but they're not willing to pay for new houses to be built if Indigenous British people are going to be put in there. And the local authorities are saying, well, we just want to have this extra housing. Perhaps eventually one of these migrants will be moved out and then possibly we could put an Indigenous British person in there. Of course, that could be 50 years away from now. Another article that we have here, another protest about a similar thing. 1,000 residents march in Crowborough against plans to home hundreds of male migrants in the barracks. 1,000 residents took to the streets today to protest plans to house hundreds of migrants in a Sussex town's former army barracks. That's excellent. 1,000 people protesting. And these are huge protests. They're much larger than the protests were before I got sent to jail back in 2023. Just in these last 3 years, I would say that they've tripled or quadrupled in size, which just shows you the strength of feeling there is. It just shows you that this nationalist spirit is awakening everywhere. Around 540 male asylum seekers are set to move into the cadet camp as early as this month as part of a government plan to reduce the number of hotels it uses to house them. This is the ninth Sunday since the plan was announced in October that furious residents marched in opposition to the idea. And again, this is excellent. That means they've been going out every single weekend to protest against this. They shouldn't have to put all this effort into just stopping their part of the country from being filled with undocumented male migrants from a completely different culture. They shouldn't have to be devoting so much of their life to preventing this. But the fact that they are, I'm really, really encouraged by. As I say, it just shows that this nationalist spirit is rising and that people are acting on this and they're acting on a sense of ethnic solidarity and not wanting these other ethnic groups to take over their own areas. About 1,000 people from the town gathered at the NO8 Crowborough Army Cadet Centre at 10 a.m. on this icy morning for the latest march around the town. And the march does look really good. Loads of flags there, loads of Union flags, loads of England flags. It looks like a really, really good protest, well-organised one. Community group members have said the Home Office hasn't engaged or given any answers to their grievances, adding that housing the migrants here would be inhumane because there is asbestos present. As I was saying in that earlier article, you have to latch on to these reasons why it's not good enough for the migrants, not the reasons why it's no good for the residents, because the government isn't interested in the residents. The government quite clearly is more interested in the welfare of the refugees than it is in the residents. Because how many young girls have to be raped and sexually assaulted before the government stops this? The government doesn't stop this. It says that people that complain about young girls being raped and sexually assaulted, that they're far-right thugs and that they should be jailed for complaining about it. For complaining about it. And of course, they don't put it in those exact words. They accuse people of inciting hate for using strong language, basically for describing their discontent at young white girls being raped. So they won't say, well, we're going to stick you in jail for complaining about it. They'll say, oh, we're going to stick you in jail for inciting hate, which effectively just means using old-fashioned English to describe this problem. 20 police officers were on hand, including a video surveillance unit, to guide the march from the camp into the town centre. Of course, they will be recording everybody there to put on their face recognition, I'm sure, and linking it up with their social media accounts so that they can go after these people later if they use any old-fashioned English. The local Wealden District Council has joined a community-backed legal challenge led by Crowborough Shield to force a full judicial review on the Home Office's plans to house migrants into the town. Well, this is the same as the hotel that had the Ethiopian pervert in it that was sexually assaulting a young schoolgirl and got evicted from the country for. They called for a full judicial review, and the judicial review said this hotel cannot be used for putting migrants in, and the Home Office just overturned it and continued to put the migrants in there. So I'm not quite sure how much success this judicial review will get. The community group has raised more than £87,000 for legal fees. That is fantastic. Again, it doesn't just show that there are people going out and protesting this. It shows that people are putting their hands in their pockets as well. And I hope some of those legal fees will go to anybody that gets jailed for using old-fashioned English in this protest as well, because they are effectively political prisoners. They're being sent to jail for their political views, not so much for the language that they use, because the same language can be found on programmes like Shameless, which is still on British television. And yet the writer of Shameless, he doesn't get sent to jail for using that language. So the difference between him and the people at these protests is that he has left-wing political views and the people at these protests have nationalist political views. That's why people say, well, it's a political prosecution when it's a speech crime that a person has been accused of. So they've raised £87,000 for legal fees. And they say they are angry about the lack of transparency and consultation on the government's decision. Again, that happens in all of these cases. The government just don't bother to even inform the local people that this is what's going on. Which does wake the local people up to the fact that our government is now hostile towards us. Particular concern is focused around the effect the migrants will have on infrastructure, health services, policing, and staffing at the camp. And of course, they can't really say the effect it might also have on the schoolgirls, who might well be sexually assaulted or possibly even raped as a result of this, because the people that look at these judicial reviews and look at these things, they're not concerned about the effect it has on the residents. All they're concerned about is the well-being of the refugees. Have they got enough infrastructure? Have they got enough health services? Are there enough police there to help them with their accusations of racism? Is there going to be enough staffing at the camp? So it's all looking at what they can do for the refugees. Is it good enough for the refugees rather than is it bad enough for the residents to stop it? Kim Bailey, director of Crowborough Shield, said, "We are continuing to protest because the Home Office has not backed down. It hasn't engaged with us or given us the answers to any of our concerns. They are listening, so we will continue to exercise our democratic right to protest to ensure that we are heard. We are not backing down. It is also inhumane to house migrants in barracks which has asbestos in it. Legionnaire's disease is known to be there, and it has lead paint on the walls. That is not compassionate." She seems pretty good. They're certainly using all the right terms there to try and get this stopped. Alex de Warren, who is also a director, said, "No one is going to give up on this. We are fully united across the town about what we think about this, the impact it will have on infrastructure such as doctors and dentists. There are multiple reasons why this site is not suitable. The Home Office hasn't carried out the necessary checks to ensure this plan is safe for the people of the town, but also safe for the people they are going to house there." Andrew Wilson, an independent councillor on Wealden District Council, said, "There are many reasons why it is not the right place for 600 migrants, but in the middle of all that, this facility was also used by military cadets and was a significant facility in the MOD. Of course, where are the military cadets going to go if all the military housing is used up for refugees? The Home Office has been very aloof and distant from the council, with communication being sparse, and that is wrong. There was initial reluctance from the council, which has now been corrected after it took into account the overwhelming views of the residents." So the council was initially supporting the Home Office, I should imagine, probably calling the protesters racists. And now they've actually seen how many people are opposed to this, they've changed their tune and are now supporting the protesters. However, there was some pushback amongst residents in favour of housing the migrants in the barracks. One woman rolled down her car window and called out to protesters holding a sign saying, "Crowborough says no." She shouted, "I say yes to migrants. I say yes. Have some heart." And people will be highly critical of that, I'm sure. But the fact is, women are emotional and they think emotionally rather than think logically. So the woman sees that there are people that need helping and she thinks, well, we should help them. That's more important than anything else, is to help them. And again, this is just the way that white people think. And when it is only white people in the country, then it's good that we have women that are concerned emotionally and concerned for people. But when it gets directed towards the out-group, then it becomes more of a threat to us than a boon to us. Another female dog walker said, "Where is the compassion for other people who have fled for their lives to this country? I'd like to think we are a welcoming town, but this display suggests otherwise, and I feel dreadfully ashamed. To assume the migrants are going to bring crime, be dangerous, or harm women and children is itself a racist and prejudiced viewpoint. The organisers of these marches are fear-mongering, and it's wrong, and I am totally opposed to it." And of course, she's entitled to her view, but her view comes from what is promoted on the mainstream media. It's not that this is a racist or a prejudiced viewpoint. It's a fact. It's a fact that the migrants are going to bring crime with them because they're 20 times more likely to sexually assault women than the indigenous British people if they're Afghan or Eritrean migrants. It's a fact because all you have to do is just look at the news reports every day of girls being sexually assaulted or violence occurring around these hotels where they put them. It's got nothing to do with the colour of their skin. It's got nothing to do with being prejudiced against them. It's to do with being concerned when you hear of these things that happen around these hotels. That's the reason for it. But of course, she's just used to seeing the establishment propaganda, and she thinks that it's a racist and a prejudiced viewpoint rather than a fact. One woman had to be surrounded by police in her car as she berated the passing marchers. In December, a group of diehard protesters were branded vigilantes after they set up a street patrol in the town to tackle antisocial behaviour. I mean, what are the people that criticise that concerned about? Do they want more antisocial behaviour? Why would they be concerned that people from their town are concerned about antisocial behaviour and want to be proactive about preventing it? The Kroba Patrol plans to wander the town centre day and night wearing high-vis jackets and red baseball caps. They want to be careful that they don't get prosecuted for wearing a political uniform. I guess they must have thought about that if it's just high-vis jackets and red baseball caps. And work has begun in the camp to prepare for the arrival of the migrants, with accommodation, toilet blocks and security fencing being erected. Well, we'll have to keep an eye on that, on what's happening to a Kroba there. And finally, the final article I have here comes from GB News. It says, "Migrant hotel evictions to begin in just months, with asylum seekers sent to live on your streets instead." And as I say, that's what's happening. They're not going to be sending them back to their country of origin. They're going to take them out of the hotels and they're going to disperse them in amongst the people that already live in this country. And if you want to prevent that from happening, then you need to go out and protest at wherever these protests are being held. If there isn't one in your local area, then be very, very thankful that they are not being dispersed in your local area. And you should travel to protests out of your area to lend your support to the people that live there. And as I say, there will be a patriotic alternative protest against migration and the government's migration policy in this matter at Warwick Town Centre on February the 7th. Okay, well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.